Okay, welcome back to CIPTV Finance. We're here today with Craig Earlham, who's senior market analyst at Oanda. How are you today, Craig?
I'm very good, mate. How are you?
I'm okay, but we're in the run-up to Deputy Bank of England Governor Ben Broadbent speaking today. Are we expecting anything from him?
I don't think we are, but I don't think there's too much to say at this moment in time. We're at this interim bit with the UK where the economic data is actually doing better than people expected. We're expecting it to get probably significantly worse. I don't think the Bank of England's going to act again this year. I know that we've seen a depreciation in the pound on the back of Theresa May's comments and on the back of Philip Hammond's warnings on the economy as well. But until we actually see something start to materialise in the economic data, I think the Bank of England's stuck in a position where it can't really justify easing monetary policy any further, because when the economy does then start to deteriorate, it's going to have fewer tools at its disposal to actually fight any economic downturn.
Craig, isn't it very difficult for the Bank of England to actually communicate what its intentions are, because you've gone from a situation where the market was saying there's a 50% chance of a further rate cut by the end of the year in July. That's now down to about 20%. At the same time, you've seen economic data probably as good as it gets in August. We're expecting softer data during the course of September, October, and going forward. And at the same time, Philip Hammond is basically saying, well, you know, it's only the pace of austerity which is likely to change rather than, you know, an all-out fiscal splurge. So overall, you probably argue you need to see more support from the Bank of England, but at the same time, the market doesn't feel that's going to be forthcoming.
No, I don't think the market does think it's going to be forthcoming in the short term. I think, like I said, I think the Bank of England is in this position where it just has to now wait for the economic data to suggest that we are going to see a downturn. I think it's inevitable that we're going to see a downturn, don't get me wrong. But while I think it was important for the Bank of England to actually preempt any weakening of the economy shortly after the Brexit vote, I don't think it's essential to do so now. I think the important thing that the Bank of England has to convey right now is that it's ready to act, it's willing to act, and has plenty of tools at its disposal to do so when the time comes. Or I guess that's just the message of every central bank all the time. And while people don't necessarily pay too much attention to it, at the moment it stops passing on this message, that's the minute that people start to panic, it would seem. So I think it's just got to convey the message that it's ready and willing and able, rather than actually trying to give people any guidance on when that will happen.
Right, let's have a look at the charts you brought in for us today. First one is cable. So a runaway move to the downside?
Yeah, I think I don't think obviously it's going to be anywhere near as aggressive as post-Brexit, but I do think we are going to now start to see that that next wave of weakness in the pound. We saw the break of 129 or 128.96, which is the post-Brexit lows, which seemed to trigger the next wave of stop losses being triggered, which prompted the aggressive move back towards around the 127s, which is where we've now found support. At this early stage, what we're seeing in terms of any upside today is looking like a bit of a dead cat bounce. I do think that we are going to see a little bit more downside to come. We may see a retest of 129 at some point, but I think ultimately in the next few weeks or over the next couple of months, I do think we are going to start to see cable trading around the 125 area. And like I say, I guess the issue we now have is with something trading at a 31-year low, trying to find previous areas of support isn't necessarily straightforward anymore. So what we're effectively looking for now is where the market wants to position itself, and I think 125, 126 is probably going to be a sensible position given that Article 50 is yet to be triggered.
Okay, let's go on to the next market, which is gold. I believe that clients, retail punters, are long up to the eyeballs of gold and silver, so not probably very happy this morning.
No, I mean, I think we've kind of been spoilt for choice with regards to what charts to look at this morning, because yesterday in particular we saw a lot of quite significant moves in a number of different instruments, gold being one of them. We finally saw that $1,300 level broken. There wasn't really necessarily a big catalyst for it. I think we were just trading at these lows, and once we pushed through 1,300, as you say, there were a lot of people who seemed to be long at this point. And therefore, there were a lot of stops that seemed to be triggered just below the 1,300. So we saw this quite aggressive move back to 1,290. And then we've seen it stabilise around down there just below 1270s. We've got that area between 1270 and 1280, which has previously been quite a key area of support. 1266, I think, marks the 61.8% retracement of the move, which seems to be offering support at this moment in time. But again, while we may see a little bit of a rebound in this, I do think a move back to 1250 does look likely at this stage, at which point that's going to be the next big test. It wouldn't surprise me if gold now finds a new trading range between 1250 and 1300 in much the same way that it established a range between 1300 and 1350 over the last few months.
Craig, do you not think there's a little bit of a scare going on at the moment in terms of central banks' continued accommodation of, you know, in within monetary policy? So you've had, for instance, once again more hawkish rhetoric, you know, let's see if it's more than rhetoric, from the Fed. We've seen the purchasing amounts for the Bank of Japan at the long end scale back by about 35%. And we've also had this sort of mini taper tantrum emanating from the ECB within the last 24 hours, and we can see the bond sell-off continuing this morning. Is this not part of a global picture where it's not lower for longer or lower forever, which has been largely priced in the markets, which has been supporting the gold price?
Potentially. It could just be a simple case of we're now seeing evidence that the central banks are now really at the maximum of what they can actually do with monetary policy, and any future policy moves are more going to be, they're going to be more tactical, I guess, than they are going to be accommodative. We're used to seeing interest rate cuts, we're used to seeing quantitative easing. I think now we are going to see things more along the lines of what we're seeing from the Bank of England with the term funding scheme, the TLTROs from the ECB. I think this is going to be really the future of monetary policy. It's going to be how do we improve the credit channels and then let the governments do their thing, rather than how much further can we cut interest rates and make things cheaper for households and businesses, which are clearly not interested in accessing these fundings at these times. It's all going to be about getting it to the places that need it rather than making it cheaper and cheaper and cheaper. And I think that's kind of what we're seeing reflected in the markets. We've seen repeatedly central banks doing what they do in trying to become more accommodative, and the markets just aren't really being blown away by it.
Okay, let's have a quick look at a dollar yen, which squeezes higher.
Yeah, this has been off the radar, but because of the moves that we've seen in the FTSE and the pound and in gold. But it looks like we are seeing a little bit of, we have seen this little squeeze higher, and we've approached this level around 103.20. And I think this is quite a significant level for this. We've got the moving average band, which I've got on the chart there, the 55 and 89. We've got the Ichimoku cloud as well, which we're now pushing the top of. And if we can see a breakthrough that 103.20 level, I think it could be quite a bullish signal for the dollar yen. And we could even be seeing a move back towards the 107.50s in the longer term. Obviously, in the shorter term, we've got the 104.50s, 105.50s, which may pose a bit of resistance. But I do think a move through the 103, 103.20s will be very bullish. Now, I wouldn't write off further consolidation between 100 and 103 in the short to medium term, but it does look like that upside pressure is starting to mount for dollar yen.
Craig Earlham, Senior Market Analyst at Oanda, thank you very much for speaking with us today.
Thank you.
We'll be back after the break.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.